And we're going to read from the Word of God. One verse in the Epistle of John, John's first epistle. The first epistle of John and chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and the verse number 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, or that he might undo, the works of the devil. Now we do trust the Lord will bless this verse. It is his holy word, and he has promised to bless it. I feel that this is a very important verse at this stage of our meetings. I feel that we have to realize the conflict that even this verse indicates. Two great powers are at work in this verse. We are recognizing on every hand the power of the devil, who has continued to sin from the beginning, and who motivates the constant, continual sinning of men and women and boys and girls wherever found. And on the other hand, there is the mighty, matchless, moving power of Christ that goes into the very realm of the devil, delivers, releases, unties those that are in the bondage and in the bitterness of the devil. And I think, dear friend, it's good just to be reminded of a question that was asked many years ago in the prophecy of Isaiah, verses or words rather, that you may never have heard before, but they apply very simply and very directly to you tonight. Shall the prey be delivered? Shall the lawful captive be delivered? And I wonder tonight, dear friend, is this possible in the meeting? You are in the captivity of the devil, and you need to be delivered. Now that is true, and that is what is governing my thought for you tonight in the gospel. Let me introduce to you a point in this important verse, and it is this: the implication of a practice. The implication of a practice, and it is this: he that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that places you in where you are tonight. In this gospel meeting, if you are committing constantly, continually, without restraint, this sin, remember, the implication of God's word makes no doubt and offers no apology. You are in close, you are in very real affinity and association with the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that's very solemn. And you will have to admit that if at this moment of time, dear friend, you are without Christ, you are without strength, and you're without God, and at this moment of time, you're without hope, and that's keeps you and places you tonight in the very bondage and in the captivity of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil. What kind of a person is he? Here is the declaration of a principle. The devil sinneth. The devil sinneth from the beginning. From the beginning. We have the record in the Word of God how the devil approached our first parents. And what was his approach? The first attack of the devil was to question the reliability of God's Word. And if you're a victim of that doubt tonight, you're in the very captivity of the devil. If you're sitting in this meeting and you have the slightest reservation relative to the authenticity of God's Word, relative to the authority of God's Word, relative to the veracity of God's Word, remember, you're already a victim of him that sins from the beginning. That's what he did. When he approached that woman, he said, "Hath God said?" And those seeds were sown in that woman's soul that raised in her mind a very definite doubt. And that shadow of doubt clouded her mind and caused her not only to doubt, but to disobey the Word of God. And she did it under the delusion. Remember, the Bible says it, under the deception of the devil. Now, dear friend, if you're in the gospel meeting, and if I were speaking to you privately, and you question the Word of God, and you contest the simplicity of God's salvation, and you resist the striving of the Holy Spirit, remember this, you're in direct association with him that has sinned from the beginning. And what did it bring about? It brought about in Adam an open defiance of the Word of God, an open disobedience of the Word of God, and that brought sin into humanity. What a solemn thing, friend. And I want you to see the tremendous principle that is here. The devil sinneth from the beginning. He has worked on the souls of men from the beginning. What to do? To question the Word of God. To oppose the Word of God. To disobey the Word of God. And to treat it as of no worthy thing. That's what's happening in the high schools and echelons of learning tonight. That's what's happening in the very youngest in our gospel meeting, however simple. The devil has all his fangs moving in order to sow in the hearts of men and women and boys and girls this principle that results in the damnation of the soul. Why is the devil moving as he is? I want to tell you plainly, friend, he's only concerned about your damnation. Damnation. Not only does he want to sow doubt in your soul, not only does he want to deceive you, not only does he want to delude you, but friend, listen, he wants to damn you. That's a solemn word. And that's a sure word. And that's why this verse is so important, that you might be given to see where your sin is taking you, where your disobedience will ultimately bring you. It will bring you under the judgment of a God that says in his word, now is the prince of this world judged. Now is the prince of this world judged. And thank God that person was judged at Calvary. And thank God there's a basis been laid at Calvary that will give the blessed Lord all the authority to put this person in the lake of fire forever and ever. And you know, dear friend, it moves my soul tonight to think that young boys and young women and young men and older friends could be associated with this awful person in ultimate and eternal damnation. Now, Revelation 21 and 8 makes that clear, dear friend. You read that verse when you get home and see the characters and see the persons that are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are and where the devil has already been caught. Oh, but thank God this verse has something else to say. I look to see it again, and here is a revelation of a purpose. For this purpose. My dear friend, it's a great thing that we have a God of purpose. God of purpose. For this purpose. And that purpose, dear friend, is this. That God is prepared to intervene in the souls of men. God is prepared to interpose in the lives of men. What if God were to allow you, my dear young man, my dear young woman, to go on roads down to hell without even stopping you for a moment on your wild career? And loved ones would try to cross your path, assuring their sympathy and their sincerity. They would give anything to see you saved. My dear friend, put it all together tonight. The many hearts that beat in prayer is nothing to be compared with the matchless, moving love of God that has intervened. That is interposed. And there's a purpose for this purpose. And that's the purpose of the meeting tonight. That you, my dear friend, may be stopped on your wild career. It's going to take you to hell forever. It's going to land you in the lake of fire for all eternity. But God would interpose. God would intervene. And please, friend, allow him to do so. He has done it wondrously in this, for there is the manifestation of a person. Isn't there? For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Oh, friend, what a person. You have to do with me tonight. You have to do with my brother Norman. Remember, man, in the meeting, you're dealing with God. And with the Son of God. Here's the manifestation of a person. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. I love that, friend. I would cling to that with all my heart. And with the two hands I've got, which represent the little hand of faith that goes out and embraces God's beloved Son in all the regency and in all the majesty of his blessed person. I love this because I tell you, 7 or 8 times in this epistle, we get those words, Son of God. And if I took you through the epistle tonight, I could spend moments that would be very precious to my soul, and I would hope practical to your soul, of unfolding to you the matchless majesty of this blessed person that's confronting the kingdom of the devil tonight. For this purpose was the Son of God. And John mentions him as the Son of God 8 times or 7 times
in this gritty epistle. What does he intend us to understand? Let me tell you. He uses the term the only begotten Son once. What does that mean? He's incomparable. There's no one like him. He stands out, friend, in all the uniqueness. That's the fifth time in the book that John has used, the Bible, that John has used this term. I can't stay with the other occurrences. And then I tell you what he does. He speaks of this blessed one as his son. 8 times. His son. What does that mean, friend? I want to whisper it to you. I want to get it right into your soul tonight. Listen. If you had all the millions that this world could offer, you would find yourself on the losing end if you miss his son.
What do you mean?
Well, friend, your biggest need tonight's not money. Your biggest need tonight is not pleasure. Your biggest need tonight's not fame. Your biggest need tonight is not what the world can offer and what the devil could offer or any friend with you tonight could offer. Listen to it. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What does that mean? He's absolutely indispensable to your cleansing. You might have a ceremony back there. You might have a creed somewhere, dear friend. You might even attend a church, I say kindly. But listen, if you're not cleansed in the cleansing blood, you have nothing. His Son. Indispensable, friend, to cleansing. I found this that he was indispensable to my communion with God. Fellowship with the Father and with his Son. You want me to go through it? I haven't time, friend. The clock goes far faster than I can go. 8 times on this great epistle, his Son. Once, the only begotten Son. And 5 times, the Son. The Son. But friend, what is it here? 7 times the Son of God. What's that? He is invincible. Absolutely invincible. Set against the context for the first time mentioned in the epistle. Listen to it, friend. Listen to it. He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's the first part. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. Why? What is the purpose? That he might destroy. That he might undo. The works of the devil. Twice mentioned in the chat, in the verse. What does that mean, friend? The Son of God is graciously, gloriously invincible. Invincible. How do you know? My friend, that blessed one went down into the very realm where the devil held supreme unchallenged sway, and he robbed him of his power and he slew him by the very thing that happened to him because he died. And he, death by dying, slew in the very region where the devil had power. Invincible. And he rose triumphant from among the dead. And it's on that ground tonight, dear friend, we tell you that he's able to deliver. And he's ready to deliver. And he's willing to deliver you at this moment. And that brings me to this glorious point, the demonstration of a power. What power? To undo the works of the devil. What are the works of the devil? Well, now, friend, if I started to tell you about this, it would take a few nights. For I haven't lived for 34 to 5 years in Malaysia and not know something about the works of the devil. And I know men and women that practice domination of the devil by yielding themselves devotedly to him and to them. I know something about the works of the devil that I'm not going to disclose to you tonight. But don't you try it, friend. I want to tell you something. If you start offering at the altar of the devil, you'll end in becoming the sacrifice. You get that? If you start offering at the altar of the devil, you'll end in becoming the sacrifice. And what you need tonight, dear friend, is the mighty power of Christ to undo in your life, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity, the works of the devil. Could I give you examples? Surely. From my experience, not necessarily. But very, very clearly from the Word of God. There are men in this meeting tonight. And you look at me, man, and I'll look at you and be faithful with me. You know fine well that you're in the power of the devil. You know it, man. And you might even have tried to release yourself from his grasp. And loved ones have spoken to you and prayed for you. And tonight you're as fast in the grip of the devil as you've ever been. Even as you sit breathing the breath that God gives you in this gospel meeting at this moment of time. What are you like? You're like the man in Mark 5. Look at the mastery of the devil. Look at the misery the devil brings. He's crying. Look at the mess he's in, cutting himself with stones. I'll not go into that. That's a common sight in Malaysia where men yield to the devil. And I want to tell you, friend, into this man's life there stepped the majestic Christ. What did he do? He untied him. He loosed him from the works of the devil. He brought him instantaneous. He brought him real. He brought him radical deliverance. The man was sitting clothed and in his right mind at the feet of the Savior. And there I see the Lord Jesus fulfilling the lovely words of John. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might undo the works of the devil. And there's a man to prove it in Mark 5. Read the story tonight. A woman in the meeting. And you're just like these men that we've been talking about. You too are in the grip of sin. You come to Luke 13 for your picture. And you'll see a woman in that very chapter, bound by Satan for 18 years. What'd the Lord do? He said, "Woman, thou art loosed." Very word is here. "Woman, thou art loosed. Untied. From thine infirmity." A lovely friend. You remember when the disciples came and they saw a colt tied. What was the Lord's message? Unloose him and let him go. That's this word, friend. And dear woman, in the gospel meeting tonight, allow the Savior to come near in the matchless grace of his love and power displayed for you at Calvary. On the ground of which he comes to you in the gospel, and he wants to unloose you from the works of the devil. And he'll do it. There are boys and girls in the meeting tonight. And your little stories on Matthew 17 You read the chapter. You'll see a child brought by his father. And you'll see what the devil wanted to do. Did you notice it? You're listening. First of all, he put him in the water. And then he tried to put him in the fire. Man, get your eyes open tonight. When that's put together, do you know what that is, friend? When that is put together in my mind and in my Bible, it becomes where the devil intends you to be forever, the lake of fire. It's very intense. And he put this child in the fire, and sometimes he cast him into the water. And now he's before the Savior. And just before the Savior speaks the word, the demons tore him, and he fell down as one dead. My, he's an evil foe, friend. And I tell you, the devil has you by his grip tonight, and he not let you go easily. And you might be in a torture tonight, and I hope you are, but I want to tell you, friend, he'll do some awful damage before he lets you go. But thank God the Son of God was manifested that he might undo the works of the devil, and that child was loosed and lifted. For the Lord raised him up. Friend, the man was tortured. My dear friend, the woman was tied. My dear friend, the child was torn. And I would to God those words would sink into your heart tonight as revealing to you the awful, agonizing power of the devil that will agitate at your soul until you're lost forever. And there's a possibility tonight the Savior might just undo you, untie you from the works of the devil and liberate you by the power of his precious blood. May it be so, for his name's sake.